Second scripture reading this morning, and the one from which the sermon shall be drawn, is the 130th Psalm. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with God is great power to redeem. It is God who will redeem Israel and all its iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. It was an emotional week for me. I don't know how it was for you, but at least in the news cycle, it was a pretty intense week. A lot of tears, tears of sorrow, tears of anguish, tears of rage, and tears of joy, and gratitude. So this morning, I want to give you permission, though you don't know me, and I have not had the opportunity to get to know you yet, to express wherever you are in your life, in your emotions, and to hopefully feel safe in this space, because I'm going to invite us in this sermon to consider a little bit some of those depths, some of those emotions, some of those places that we sometimes go in our lives, which maybe are not always so welcome. From the depths, the psalmist cries to God. From the depths. A phrase which is instantly comprehensible for its sharp emotional content. We know what this phrase means. We have cried from the depths at some times in our lives. From the bottom of a dark pit where it seems that no one can hear you, where your pain and your worry or fear well up from some unfathomable recess in your heart that you didn't even know was there. From the depths, we cry to the Lord. Some of you perhaps have been fortunate in your life to have had relatively few occasions to experience the kind of anguish that the psalmist describes here, the kind of situations that hit you just below the solar plexus and knock the wind right out of you. The kinds of situations that are encapsulated in phrases like, I love you, but I'm leaving. Or, I'm afraid it is cancer. Or, I'm sorry, he didn't make it through surgery. Maybe it was only a handful of moments in your entire life or in the lives of people around you where it seemed like everything was suddenly falling away, out of reach, and you were screaming on the inside, but no one could hear you. For some people, though, this is a more constant reality for them. Some people grapple with depression and anxiety every single day. Some folks pray constantly, and the only kind of prayer that they have to pray is the prayer of the psalmist, Lord, hear my voice, somebody hear me, a prayer shouted from the depths. And it is sadly the case that too often when we go out in public, especially, unfortunately, at church, we're in the habit of putting on our best face. We look around us and we see nothing but people who seem to have everything together. Nothing but people who seem to be having lives where everything goes perfectly according to plan. To our left and our right and across the way, there are people who are dressed well and who managed to shave and wash their hair and do everything right this morning. So we put on our mask of togetherness too. We wouldn't want to be the one person in the crowd whose messiness is showing through, the one person whose stuffing is coming out like a too well-loved little bear, the one person who is just barely holding it together. So we brush our hair, we plaster on a smile, we clean up our language so that we can give the right impression. I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, for the sake of your community together, for the sake of your individual and collective salvations, do not be fooled by these masks. There's a proverb often attributed to Plato: be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And the proverb is closer to the truth, closer to the reality than the appearance of stability that everyone likes to project. As a pastor, it has been my privilege, my experience, that behind the well-put-together lives that most of us portray, there is a great deal of uncertainty and anxiety and pain. Almost everyone at some point in their life has had to deal with something which they really would rather have not. Something which has marked them, which has scarred them, which has left them vulnerable. Most every person you meet has more pain, more fear, more uncertainty, more upheaval, more confusion, and more doubt than they have shown you. And if you get to know them, if you get to know their depths, you'd find that they too are fragile and lonely, and sometimes they cry silently to God from the depths. This week, I was reminded, many of us were reminded, just how dark some of those depths can be. Like many, I watched very closely the funeral of Reverend Clementa Pinckney. Watched as his wife, Jennifer, and his daughters, Eliana and Milana, wept for their father and husband. I read the letter that Jennifer wrote that was placed in the bulletin for the funeral to her husband, lamenting all the lost days and years that she was owed. Years and days that she had been promised to spend with him, growing old together. I heard the stories of her and Milana, who had been in the church at the time that the murders happened, hiding and calling 911, and the other, even more terrifying story of the 5-year-old girl, the niece of Tawanza Sanders, who was forced to pretend to play dead in order to survive. We live in a world where 5-year-old girls sometimes have to play dead to live. Out of those kinds of depths, sometimes people cry. Sometimes our neighbors cry and shout and are not heard. And in the aftermath of those murders, all week long, there have been other events going on. There have been at least 5 traditionally black churches burned this week. 5 churches: Glover Grove Baptist Church in South Carolina, the Greater Miracle Apostolic Holiness Church in Florida, College Hill Seventh-day Adventist in Tennessee, God's Power Church in Georgia, Briar Creek Baptist and Fruitland Presbyterian Church. Over and over, this is happening. This is happening again and again. And these are the events and stories that most of us thought we had put long behind us, that most of us thought were things of the past. And it is because we have been failing to hear the people who have been crying from the depths in our midst, in our society. They have been crying but not being heard. In the religion of ancient Israel, there was a place they believed in called Sheol. Sheol was for them the realm of the dead. It was a hopeless place at the bottom of the seas, a metaphorical realm of abandonment where all of the dead ended up. The hope of ancient Israel wasn't in any kind of heaven or afterlife, but in a physical resurrection was what most of ancient Israel was hoping for or believing in. Death for most of Israel meant only darkness and silence and shivering far from the light of God. This place, Sheol, is what the psalmist in 130 is referring to when he says that he cries out of the depths, out of the depths, out of Sheol, out of the place beyond death, out of the place where God is not even there, out of the place where from which no one returns. That is the place that he's referring to by saying, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, the watery abyss where only the dead exist. The psalmist expresses this prayer in the starkest and most hopeless of terms, and yet somehow this psalm ends up not being a song of despair. Somehow the psalmist is managing to express confidence that even in that most forsaken place, the place by definition where God is not, that God can hear, that God will answer, that God is still speaking. And this confidence that God is to be found even the places where God cannot be found is expressed throughout the Old Testament because it was confirmed again and again by the experience of the people of Israel. It was when they were at their lowest in slavery in Egypt and in exile in Babylon that God showed up for them most powerfully. They know that God's heart is open to those who cry from the depths because they have experienced it, because they have lived it. That paradoxically, it is when we feel that we are farthest from God that we are most closely held. We discover that the pit that we have fallen into is actually an opening into the depths of God's love. This mystery is the mystery which Christianity expresses in the cross. That somehow, when Jesus is dying and in despair, somehow in the moment when he is crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Somehow it is in that moment of apparent abandonment that we learn to confess that God is most powerfully visible and present. It is when we cry de profundis, it is when we cry from the depths that we learn to trust and believe that God's most powerfully present to us. To call from the depths of our heart, from the depths of our soul, from the depths of our anguish, even yes, from the depths of our joy. Because just as God answered Israel in Egypt, just as God answered Israel in Babylon, and just as God answered Christ's cry of dereliction from the cross with the resurrection, God is in the business of answering these cries from the depths. And we have seen and heard these answers as well, because this week I read other stories also, which also brought tears to my eyes, but of a different quality. I read the story of Jack Evans and George Harris, 85 and 82 respectively, the first to get married in Dallas this week, after 54 years together. 54 years in which they must have occasionally needed to cry from the depths that their love was not recognized, that their love was not accepted, that their love was not upheld and uplifted by the rest of their society. And finally, at last, their cry has been heard. Resurrection has happened. Love has made new life out of death. Love has made new loves out of loss. Love has made new bonds out of broken fellowships and broken hearts. And it is that truth which we witness again and again, which demands of us, which requires of us, that in places like this, that in communities like this, that we make them places where we are safe to cry, where we are safe to express those depths, where we are safe to allow ourselves to be vulnerable enough to show where we hurt, to show where we lacked, to show what we've lost. Because in showing it, we may be embraced. Because in showing it, we may find others walk in solidarity with us, others who have experienced similar losses, similar pains, similar anguish, able to join us in Sheol, to hold our hands and to sit with us and to cry alongside us until that cry is heard. Because it will. It will be heard. Amen.
Please stand as you are able to sing the hymn of response, Over My Head, number 514. To express what our feelings are. I am glad that there is a way and a place that we can help get those prayers answered through our friends and through our God. We will now have the morning offering. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, let this offering be a sign of our gratitude for your steadfast love. May these contributions be used to further your ministries of compassion and concern. Let our faith and values be reflected in all that we do. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Final hymn is number 277, Holy, Holy, Holy. We will sing verses 1-3.
It is the work and business of the church to create places where people may cry from the depths and where their hands may be held in the depths of Sheol so their cries may be heard. But this is not our only work. Our work is not only to allow those cries to be made, but to respond to them and to be the answer to prayer. This week, a woman climbed up a flagpole and tore a flag down. An answer to prayer. Be that person who goes out this week and doesn't allow injustice to stand, and doesn't allow pain to go unanswered, and doesn't allow wrongs to go unrighted, and doesn't allow the lonely to remain in their loneliness, and doesn't allow the despairing to remain in their despair, and doesn't allow any to believe for a moment that they are truly alone, because we are together. Together we may cry from the depths and trust and believe that those cries will be answered. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in your hearts this day and every day. Thank you.
glad I listened to that still small voice that told me you have to come to church today.
I'm glad you came too.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, appreciate it.
I don't suppose. Exactly. go to a workshop?
Thank you.
do a portrait.
Well, I can.
Okay. I don't know. Sure. Well, I'll be here that Sunday.
Yeah, okay.